You know, when we think about proving something true, we usually picture a mathematician at a chalkboard.
Oh, yeah, just standing there in a dusty room.
Right, just writing out endless lines of equations, symbols, maybe some Greek letters, until they finally get to the end.
Put a little box around it.
Exactly. They put a box around it and say, "There it is, QED, it's proven." We basically view proof as this completely mental
Like a
exercise.
logical puzzle, right?
Yeah, a puzzle solved with abstract symbols on a two-dimensional surface.
Which is, well, it's exactly how we've been taught to view epistemology for centuries. We separate the mind's logic from the physical, the dirt and gears of reality.
Yeah.
But what the sources we're looking at today suggest is that this distinction is entirely artificial. Taking the idea of truth out of the realm of abstract philosophy and dropping it directly into the messy physical world of engineering, it isn't just a metaphor.
Right.
It's literally a description of how the universe operates.
And that completely flips the script. I mean, what if proving a theorem wasn't just doing math on a chalkboard, but literally building a physical invention?
Yeah, building an actual machinery.
Imagine constructing something with gears, steam, or silicon chips just to force reality to bend to your logic. So, today, for everyone listening, our mission on this deep dive is to merge two really mind-bending frameworks, constructor theory and XYFLDR.
Two very heavy concepts.
Very heavy. We're going to see how reality, your knowledge, and your own brain act as a giant truth network. Okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
Before we get into the universe acting as an oracle of truth, we kind of have to understand the foundational physics we are building on for a complete beginner, right?
Right, avoiding the super dense academic jargon.
Exactly. So David Deutsch introduced constructor theory back in 2013, largely to move physics away from its obsession with initial conditions.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Because traditional physics is entirely built around laws of motion and predictive models.
Like predicting where a ball is going to land.
Yeah, exactly. It wants to know if I have a pendulum and I pull it back exactly 20 degrees and let it go with zero initial velocity, where will it be in exactly 5 seconds?
Right, the classic high school physics problem.
You take an initial state, apply a differential equation, and predict a future state. But Deutsch recognized that this framework is, well, it's incredibly limiting.
Yeah, because it doesn't cover everything.
Right. It struggles to explain things like information, computation, or even biological life, things that don't easily just reduce down to trajectories of particles.
So constructor theory throws out that predictive obsession. It says, instead of just calculating how things move from point A to point B, we should be mapping out the entire landscape of reality.
Yes. Asking what transformations are physically possible, which ones are impossible, and fundamentally why.
And that brings us to the core concept, the constructor.
Right. A constructor is basically a physical system that causes a specific transformation to happen repeatedly and reliably.
But it doesn't get used up, right?
Exactly. It retains its own ability to cause that transformation again. It doesn't get consumed by the process. It's like the catalyst.
Okay, to make sure we're keeping this grounded for you, and I want to use an everyday example here, think of an espresso machine.
Well, that's a good one.
Right. We normally just see it as a kitchen appliance. But under constructor theory, it is a localized thermodynamic constructor.
It reliably takes an input state.
Cold water and roasted beans, and transforms them into a high energy extraction, coffee.
Yeah, the best kind of extraction.
But crucially, the machine's internal mechanics, the pumps, the heating elements, the pressure valves, they aren't fundamentally altered or consumed by making the coffee.
No, it resets and performs the task again. That's a highly accurate way to model it. The machine is the constructor.
Okay.
The transformation of water and beans into espresso is the possible task. And constructor theory is basically looking at the entire universe and asking what kind of localized thermodynamic constructors, what kind of espresso machines are permitted by the laws of physics.
Yeah, and what is strictly forbidden, right?
Exactly. For instance, a constructor that perpetually generates its own energy without an external input, that is an impossible task. No such constructor can exist.
That makes perfect sense. But our source material doesn't stop at constructor theory. It pairs this discrete idea of possible and impossible tasks with this other framework called XYFLELW.
Yes, XYFLU.
And this is where it feels like we are mapping these discrete physical tasks onto a continuous geometric space. If we view reality through XYFLEW, we're basically treating the universe's phase space as a continuous vector field, right?
We are.
So if everything in XYFLU is just a vector field flowing along, Where do physical laws fit into this? Are they external rules acting on objects, or?
No. In XYFLU, the physical laws are the vector fields. They are the topology of the space itself.
Wow, okay.
You're moving from discrete algebra to continuous topology. In physics, a phase space is a multidimensional map of every single possible state a system could ever be in.
Like all the options at once.
Right. If you have a simple system, like our pendulum, its phase space is just two dimensions, its angle and its momentum. Every point in that space represents a specific state. Now, apply a vector to every single point.
Like a little arrow.
Like an arrow, dictating where the system must go next, driven by the laws of physics.
So instead of laws of physics being these invisible hands pushing things around, the laws of physics are the vectors. They are the currents in the water.
That's a great analogy.
Every point in the phase space has a vector pointing to the next infinitesimally small step in time. And the path that a physical system takes through that phase space, just following those vectors, that's its trajectory.
And here is the huge conceptual leap that XYFLU makes. That trajectory is literally a program executing.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Reality is computing the outcome by physically moving the system along that continuous path. You don't need a separate computer to simulate the universe. The universe's natural flowing through its phase space is the computation.
So how does this merge with the possible and impossible dichotomy of constructor theory? Because if the universe is just a massive space of flowing vectors, everything is just, I don't know, moving. Hmm. Where does possibility come in?
It comes down to the behavior of those trajectories.
Yeah.
In this merged topology, every trajectory does one of two things. It either eventually converges to a specific stable region.
Which we call an attractor, right?
Yes. In dynamic systems theory, it's an attractor.
Mm.
Or it diverges, wandering chaotically into infinity. If a trajectory naturally flows into an attractor, the task or transformation it represents is possible.
Oh, I see.
But if the topology of the vector field forces the trajectory to diverge endlessly with no stable endpoint, that task is impossible.
So the physical laws, the vectors, literally dictate reality's constraints. If there is no attractor in the phase space for a perpetual motion machine, then building one is objectively impossible. But I want to map this onto the first major concept in our source document, the idea of the universe as a truth network. If the phase space is the network and every coordinate is a possible state, the document suggests the universe is essentially acting as an oracle of truth.
What's fascinating here is how this redefines epistemology. When we say the universe is a truth network, we aren't anthropomorphizing it.
Right. It doesn't have a brain.
The universe doesn't possess a conscious encyclopedia of facts. It doesn't hold a proposition in its mind. Rather, it enforces truths strictly by flowing.
I have to push back slightly on the wording, though, because when we use a word like truth, it carries a lot of, you know, philosophical baggage.
Sure, it does.
So wait, the universe isn't some giant encyclopedia holding facts. It just blindly physically forces things to happen. And whatever state it settles into, that's what we call truth.
Yes.
Like if an apple falls from a tree and hits the ground, is the universe proving the truth of gravity, or is it just a mass settling into a lower energy state? Why call it truth?
Because the mathematical logic we use to define truth is structurally identical to the physical flowing toward an attractor.
Oh.
Let's say your proposition is apples fall to the ground. In abstract logic, you would prove this through a series of axioms leading to a conclusion. In a constructor XY flow universe, the vector field physically pushes the apple along a trajectory until it reaches the ground, which is the attractor.
Wow.
The physical flow from the initial state to the attractor is the formal proof. The universe itself is a constructor here.
Okay, I see. The proposition is the trajectory. The physical reality of the apple hitting the dirt is the universe computing the proof of that theorem.
Exactly. Every converging trajectory is a physical proof that a proposition is true. A calculator computing 2 plus 2 equals 4 is just a physical system of silicon gates flowing toward a stable, low-energy state that we map to the number 4.
It doesn't know what 4 is.
Right. The universe doesn't look up the answer. It reliably performs the task of making the truth manifest through its vector field.
But hold on. If the universe flows naturally toward its own attractors, if reality is just naturally computing its own proofs based on the default vector field, what happens when human beings intervene?
Now we get to the fun part.
Because we don't just sit around watching apples fall. We build things. We invent. We force physical systems into states they would never naturally reach on their own. How does human invention fit into a universe that is just a giant flowing vector field?
This is where the concept of a coupling field comes into play. In this framework, an invention, a constructor built by a human, is a coupling field.
A coupling field.
You are taking a localized, artificially constructed vector field and attaching it to the universe's macroscopic vector field to redirect trajectories.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Let's upgrade our metaphors here because I want to make sure I'm visualizing the physics of this correctly.
Go for it.
Is an invention basically like building a dam and canals in a raging river? Like, the river is the universe's natural vector field, and our invention is a coupling that forces the water, or reality, to flow toward a new destination we want.
That is a phenomenal way to look at it. The natural vector field of the universe might dictate that a river simply flows down a mountain into the ocean. That's the natural attractor.
Right.
But human beings want to grind wheat into flour. So we build a water wheel and a series of dams. We introduce a coupling field, the physical infrastructure of the mill, which alters the local topology. We redirect the flow of reality to create a brand new attractor, ground flour.
So bringing this back to our new definition of proving theorems, if I want to prove the theorem flowing water can grind wheat, I don't write out a logical deduction on a chalkboard.
No, not at all. Under this framework, proving that state P flowing water leads to state Q ground wheat means actually constructing a physical system that transforms P into Q.
The construction is the proof.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Every time you build a machine that works, you're constructing an invention that proves the theorem, this machine is possible. The proof isn't a description of the machine. The proof is the physical object functioning in reality.
That fundamentally changes what engineering is. Engineering is basically applied epistemology.
Very much so.
But obviously, we can't just invent anything we want. There are constraints. The document outlines a few specific principles governing this, starting with the no design principle. What exactly is reality forbidding here?
Well, the no design principle states that you can't design a constructor for an impossible task.
Because impossibility is an objective physical fact, not just a lack of engineering skill.
Right. If the universe's macroscopic vector field has no fixed point, no attractor for your target, no coupling module can create one.
But wait, if we have the power to introduce coupling fields, if we can drop dams into the river to warp the flow, why can't we warp it enough to make the impossible possible? What stops us from building a coupling field that, say, forces water to flow uphill forever without external energy?
Because the coupling field itself has to be constructed from the physical material of the universe.
Oh, right.
Which means it is subordinate to the overarching universal vector field. No localized coupling module can conjure an attractor out of thin air if the math doesn't allow the equations to balance. The combined topology of your invention and the universe forbids it.
Okay, so we are absolutely bounded by the macroscopic rules of the field. Impossibility is a hard wall. But what about the things that are possible? The document brings up another core rule, the substrate independence principle.
Yes.
And this seems like the bridge between the physical and the informational.
It is arguably the most profound implication of the entire theory. Constructor theory states that if a task is possible, its underlying logic is substrate independent. In XYFLTROW terms, the program is the field, not the medium it runs on.
Meaning the mathematical rule of the flow doesn't care about the physical hardware.
Precisely. If you design a coupling field that acts as a logic gate, it functions whether you build it out of wooden gears, analog electrical circuits, digital silicon microchips, or...
or living biological tissue.
Exactly. The topology of the attractor remains identical across completely different physical substrates.
Living tissue. Okay, this substrate independence principle brings this entire theory directly, physically, into the minds of everyone listening right now.
It really does.
We've established how physical inventions like espresso machines or water wheels are coupling fields that redirect the flow of reality. But under substrate independence, biological hardware is also just a constructor.
Yes. The listener's brain is a highly complex biological constructor. It couples to the universe's macroscopic field.
Wait, how does biological tissue like neurons firing, neurotransmitters crossing synapses, how does that actually couple to the universe's abstract vector field?
The substrate independence principle means the information theoretic attractor is physically realized in the biological hardware. When you understand or learn something new, your internal neural dynamics literally converge to an attractor that mirrors the universe's attractor.
So as our listener is sitting here right now getting an aha moment from this deep dive, is their brain literally aligning its vector field with the universe's truth?
We connect this to the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Learning is a physical process of proving theorems by flow.
Wow.
The listener is a living XYFLOW program. As they process these concepts, their neural weights are shifting. Their brain is physically flowing from a state of not knowing the initial axioms to a stable conclusion.
They are constructing knowledge physically in their neural pathways.
Forging an attractor that perfectly mirrors the underlying reality of the universe.
So that aha moment, that feeling of sudden clarity when a complex concept clicks, it isn't just a psychological feeling. It is the literal physical moment your internal neural trajectory finally converges on the attractor.
It's the water hitting the water wheel you just built in your mind.
That is just a beautiful, mathematically accurate way to describe understanding. You're proving the theorem, this is how the world works inside your own biological hardware.
You have constructed a truth network inside your own skull.
So what does this all mean? If we step back and synthesize all of this for you, we live in a constructor-theoretic XY flow universe. It sounds like dense academic jargon, but it's really just a radically practical, physical way to view our existence.
Yes.
Physics isn't just about predicting where a ball will land. It's the vector field of all possible realities. Knowledge isn't just memorizing trivia. It's physically shifting your neural weights to reach an attractor.
Beautifully put.
And invention isn't just tinkering with tools. It's dropping a coupling field into the fabric of reality to bend the universe's flow toward your goals. And you, the listener, are a constructor actively flowing toward truth.
It elegantly unites physics, computation, biological cognition, and epistemology into one continuous system.
Yeah.
But this raises an important question.
Oh.
One that the source touches on at the very end with a meta-concept called the constructor of constructors.
The constructor of constructors, an invention that builds other inventions.
Exactly. If an invention, a localized coupling field, can alter the flow of reality, what happens when you build a constructor whose repeated, reliable task is to build other constructors?
Oh, wow.
In XY flow W, this becomes a metavector field. It's a localized topological warp that generates entirely new vector fields endlessly.
Like artificial intelligence, or honestly, just human civilization itself. We are biological constructors that build machines that build other machines.
We are the ultimate metavector field in our known universe. The invention itself invents, constantly creating branches of possibilities, carving out new attractors that the universe's default vector field never even possessed before we existed.
We don't just passively discover truths by flowing into pre-existing attractors. We actively warp the topology to create entirely new pathways.
To entirely new truths.
Which leaves us with a truly wild final thought. You're not just an observer sitting in the universe watching the vectors flow by. You are an active participant, constantly warping the phase space around you.
Changing reality.
So I'll leave you with this to mull over today. If your entire existence is a physical proof flowing toward truth, and your biological brain is a constructor capable of redirecting the fundamental flow of reality through invention and learning, what new attractor are you going to redirect your reality toward today?
That's the real question.
What kind of coupling field are you going to build in your own life? Because whether you're extracting an espresso, learning a complex new skill, or building a new piece of technology, you're not just existing. You are physically forcing the topology of reality to bend to your logic. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning, keep constructing, and keep exploring the truth network around you. We'll catch you next time.